Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle. www.serotalk.com, a production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 129 for October 22nd, 2012. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Well, for the second week in a row, let's lead off with AT news. I like this first story a lot. Apple versus Android. The winner is the disabled community. So no need to fight amongst ourselves about which, I mean, it's kind of fun, but, you know, okay, let's go ahead and fight a little, you know, just for the sport of it.
Can't we all just get along, man?
No, I'm not fighting.
No, I'm not either.
Yes, you are. No, you're not.
Exactly. How dare you not have an opinion about something?
Yeah, can't we all just get along? Let's all get a smartphone. Let's all just get a smartphone.
Or a phablet.
Or a phablet or a tap top.
Phablets for all. Phablets and tap tops for all. But no, I really like this article because it does explore some of the things that were not necessarily even related to the disabled community and how they can benefit everyone, including the disabled community. And the example they use here is voice assistant and Siri. So they do comparisons between the two, and voice assistant apparently clearly wins when it comes to speed, but Siri is a little better at handling complex queries, questions that you might not think to ask every day.
You know, that comes down to chips, you know, because I'm listening to Mr. Calvo uses iPhone 5, and Ricky, you have one as well. Siri is blindingly faster on the new iPhones. And with voice assistant, you know, some of that is a little different because it changes in Google Now, which is on our Nexus 7s and some other Jelly Bean products. But the upshot of this article is something we say here on this very podcast and have for years now. You know, it's awesome that the mainstream is catching up and bringing all these wonderful options to everybody. And, you know, there's more in Best Buy now that you can go in and buy that comes out and talks than ever before. And that means everybody wins, no matter what camp you're in.
I also think it's good, too, that not only are we talking a lot about companies that are really working toward universal design and making sure things are accessible from the ground up, but more attention is, I believe, being placed and going to be placed on those companies that do not. And it's not that just that we're jumping up and down screaming all the time, but it's going to become more and more apparent that, hey, this ebook reader has no accessibility. Wonder why not?
I think you're absolutely right. And the more people begin to use things like voice search and that sort of thing, the more it will become apparent that it isn't necessary to have a completely different market for the disabled community. It's more like everybody wants to see these types of features. And I had kind of a funny experience the other day. I had to replace my thermostat, and sadly, I wasn't able to get a Nest. The Nest isn't fully accessible yet for us, although I understand some work is being done. But in any case, I got this new thermostat, which was digital rather than the really horrible slider thermostat that I had before, where you moved it half a centimeter and you went 4 degrees. And a friend of mine was asking, oh, does that have a voiceover in it?
Oh, wow.
You know, it was just the most interesting question because she fully expected, why should it not?
That is wonderful, actually. That is great.
Does it make you want to dance?
Well,
do you got to dance? Do you got to dance? Oh, wait, sorry. Wait, sorry.
Hey, speaking of dancing.
Yeah?
Speaking of dancing.
You Gonman style?
I'm not much of a dancer, honestly, but several blind folks in Sacramento are apparently, and they did this to raise awareness of White Cane Day. They did a flash mob dance. Now, I always thought flash mobs were like negative, bad things, like if people texted and then ended up going somewhere and, you know, looting or something. I didn't realize this was a dance thing. So you guys, you EOL folks. Okay.
Oh. They're almost like art installations where people have done flash mobs of like stormtroopers out front of something, you know, or it's kind of a viral video kind of thing where people will do that, just spontaneous kind of, you know, you don't see it coming in the middle of town square thing. And then somebody captures it on the cell phone and it goes up on YouTube and then goes super duper crazy. But it takes a lot of coordination and it surprises people. It's like street teams, you know, where people come out and have a coordinated effort of doing something. But it's used a lot in promotion, or it's used a lot in, like you said, Jamie, to kind of protest something. You might do a flash mob.
So in this video that accompanies this article, I heard someone like giving clock coordinates, it sounds like. Did you have a chance to watch the visual on that, Joe, or just the article?
I watched part of it. What they're doing is like dance steps. And, you know, it's like a marching band where everybody has a certain, you know, step. And to keep everybody on the same step, especially for people like you and I, Jamie, who might not have, well, you probably have more rhythm than I do being a musician. So all I could do is just tap my foot.
Your cane, as they did.
Or your cane, yeah.
Oh, like a metronome. Oh, that was nice. Yes. That was really nice. Nice save.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the way of, you know, Fosse, 2, 3, 4, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Hand jive. No, wait. No, that's wrong. No, jazz hands. That's the one I was looking for. Jazz hands, Ricky. Jazz hands.
Well, my hat's off to them. I'm glad that they did that. We're certainly... anything we can do to positively promote, you know, awareness, increase awareness of...
For sure that blind people come in more than just one or two people at a time, that there's a whole group of us.
Hey, I wonder if they were able to see individual differences as they looked at this group. Because normally, and perhaps I'm the only one who has this experience, but I doubt it. Normally, if there are... multiple blind people, say 2 or 3 blind people on a college campus, you might often get mistaken for another blind person, even though you look quite different. They see the cane or the dog, and they just attach random blind person's name to that. So,
or do you know my friend Blah Blah, who's also blind?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There's always that.
I want to know exactly how they got
the entire world
there.
Know each other. Yeah.
I want to know how they got everybody there, because I don't know about you guys, but have you ever tried to coordinate through 5 different types of public transportation and drivers and spouses to get any group of blind people in the same place at the same time?
If any of our listeners were there, send us an email, resources@saratalk.com, and let us know how that worked out, how that went.
Well, these guys may like dancing, but I like shopping a lot. I'm not good at dancing, but I'm really good at shopping.
Shop until you drop. That's the move right there. The dropping.
You got it. Yeah. I can pull that off like nobody's business. So I was interested to hear about this service called Home Readers, which is, the article states, it's the gateway to shopping for blind and visually impaired people. And they provide catalogs for various stores and so on as MP3 files. And this is not just talking about the item in the catalog. There are actually descriptions of each item, which is quite nice, because sometimes the written description doesn't do something justice. They're thinking, we're writing this description to talk about a couple of product specs, but the rest, you can look at the picture and figure it out. And that's kind of what this group is addressing with this service. Very nice.
I remember getting some 4-track cassettes from them several years ago. And there are some pretty extensive descriptions, and it's a little hard to search. I mean, you know, we all have fond memories of looking for the tone indexing and all that good stuff. But from what I was seeing, it looks like some of these things may even be available in DAISY format.
Yeah, they're still doing some of this on 4-track cassette, which is a little bit amusing, but they're also doing this through MP3s and some DAISY.
So definitely check that out and give those guys a look and a shout out and take advantage of what they have to offer. Lots of good catalogs. I saw some food items, coffees and teas, and I don't know what all, but a bunch of stuff there. So a lot of recognizable, you know, Gap and some recognizable stores that you will definitely maybe want to shop at. Well, speaking of things I wish I had won, probably don't quite have the funds to pull this one off, but I'd love to play with the new Braille Plus 18. So, well, first of all, main menu this week is going to, Chase Crispin is going to demonstrate this product. I know for a fact that he was on the beta team, and he got to play with it from the early days, back before it became the Braille Plus 18. Back when it was, what was it called? Was it the Icon or?
Well, it's there was the Icon, which was the version done by Level Star, and then there was the Braille Plus, which was that with a Braille keyboard, and now which I guess you have the Braille Plus Classic, which is not produced anymore.
Right.
And here we have this new one, which is based on Android, unlike previous versions of this device.
What's the Braille Wizard, Joe, you were asking about, is
was
the
that
one,
the, that, one from MBP from National
from,
Braille
from Blazy, right? From
yeah.
National
yeah, okay.
Braille Plus.
National Braille Plus. Yeah, those guys. Yeah.
National Braille Plus.
It's early
Plus.
In the morning when we record this.
It is.
The manual is good read to take a look at some of the features, you know, so you can get kind of an overview. And definitely, I'm going to check out main menu. I usually do anyway because Chase does some great work over there and rallying all sorts of people like David Woodbridge and some great content. But I'm eager to hear what he has to say about the device because there have been a lot of questions about it. And we of course, over at that Android show are very interested because we want to hear what other people have to say about that particular kind of device and how it works and what type of Android and how much it's been skinned or modded.
I think this is based on Gingerbread, right?
That's what I remember hearing is that it's V2.3. Now, that's not a bad thing before people go, oh, no, wait. Version 2.3 is still 57% of the Android market. And there are a lot of apps actually still available for various versions of Android. So in a lot of cases, that's not necessarily a bad thing, although some people would think that the latest and the greatest is the best thing to have. In some cases, users tend not to notice as long as it just quote-unquote works.
Another thing that might just work, and we're going to find out in the next few days, is the public beta number one of WindowEyes version 8, and that is soon to be upon us. And GW Micro is doing what they usually do each time this happens. They are producing a set of Guess What podcasts and just giving some sneak peeks into the product. So by the time you hear this, assuming all goes as planned, you should have the public beta in your hands, but you can certainly listen to the podcasts as you're playing with the beta and kind of get some ideas of what you need to look for, some changes to browse mode. They are continuing to work on that and doing that. Kind of a cool thing that they've introduced. If your volume is muted for some reason, you know, that can happen sometimes when you launch. When you launch WindowEyes, it will automatically unmute your volume for you and give you speech back. So
they've also introduced support for safe mode, which is great to hear, and support for Java without using the Access Bridge. Now, my understanding was they did have support for Java without the Access Bridge before, so I'm not sure what changes they've made here, or perhaps I'm mistaken about them having eliminated the Access Bridge before now. But I really like the safe mode idea. And here's one of those things where, you know, the it's just time for Steam concept, where a lot of people kind of invented the Steam engine at the same time, or were beginning to figure out ways to utilize that. The safe mode from GW Micro, we've also seen a release of a product called OptiGuide. This is for $229 and also purports to have this safe mode support feature. Don't know a lot about this one yet either, but we'll have a link to the show notes and you can check out information about that as well as the GW Micro Beta.
How amazing is it for screen reader users to have all of these things all happening at once? JAWS 14, the new NVDA beta, these two betas, and TalkBack beta. You know, the new TalkBack beta, I believe it's version 6, is in Jelly Bean 4.1. And a lot of people have asked us questions about how that works on the Nexus 7s. Ricky and I actually have Nexus 7. And of course, you've already heard what Mike Calvo had to say about it last month in the mobile podcast that we did on an SPN special. If you haven't heard that, hop on over to iBlink Radio and check that out, or head over to saratalk.com. The article that we have here in the show notes, which is also available from saratalk.com, is a look at Jelly Bean on the Nexus 7. Ricky, have you read this, and do you feel like it hits home on a lot of things? Or, I mean, you have a device as well.
Yes, and I think this article is a very accurate portrayal of what it's like to own a Nexus 7 right now. This was actually written by JJ Meadow of That Android Show. So we're looking at a person who is an Android expert, I would say. And he doesn't pull any punches here. He does talk about the very positive aspects of the device and also talks about some of the shortcomings that you can expect. And I think that having an article like this that really lays out in reality what it's going to be like if you own one of these, and also makes the point that there are updates happening all the time, and what you see even at the writing of this article, what you see even a month later could be dramatically different. And so his thoughts are much like mine, in that I think the tablet is a good investment right now. If you're expecting to pick it up and do everything that you want to in terms of web browsing, email, word processing, media consumption, those sorts of things, if you expect to do that with a minimum of hassle and no real learning curve, this is probably not for you yet, but as things continue to update all the time, it's a good investment because you're going to see changes that do make it possible for you to do that. And in the meantime, you can provide accurate feedback to the developers at Google about what needs to be improved.
And we've talked about this on the show before. These things are happening so fast with Android. They literally can have updates in a week, and you can have a different experience rather quickly, as opposed to iOS, where you're waiting for the next big release to find some changes. And that works both for and against each user in each situation. It just depends on you, but you've got options, which is just awesome. Well, coming up after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the death of print in a major magazine. And then, believe it or not, we found a way to have another EOL reference to a very famous movie that I like very much in Roundabout. So stay with us on Podcast 129.
Are you tired of browsing through thousands of sites just to find the news you want? What about recipes, shopping, radio stations? Wouldn't it be great if there was a single place where you could find all these things and a lot more? There is. Discover SamNet with the widest and most complete content ever assembled for the blind community. And speaking of community, you can use SamNet's voice chat, instant messaging, and users forums to communicate with family, friends, and others who share your interests. To learn more about SamNet, please visit www.serotech.com. That's www.serotech.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-202-0520. We're Serotech, the accessibility anywhere people.
Welcome back to Serotalk 129, the digital edition. No, wait. All of our editions are kind of sort of digital, but
Serotalk newspaper. Did we stop sending out these podcasts in print? When did we do that?
Exactly. They come on big dead media like trees. And, you know, Newsweek actually has come to the idea that it's time to shutter the print version of their business. They actually have been losing readership of their magazine over the last 10 years. It was about 3 million subscribers. They're now down to less to like 1.5 to 1.3 million. And having that many subscribers doesn't necessarily mean that it's cost effective for them to be able to continue to print a magazine and then ship it, you know, which is a lot of money to be able to move those, you know, dead tree magazines out everywhere, when they can just go ahead and keep things online and move it into their other online offerings like the dailybeast.com. So really what they're doing is not something that happened overnight. They've really looked at this. They've looked at the model. They've seen subscriptions go down, and they've been in the background getting ready for this the whole time. Same way the Encyclopedia Britannica guys did earlier this year, in which they said, you know, it's just not cost effective to keep printing these books anymore, especially when information updates so fast on the web. But the good thing is we in accessibility world, those of us who need to get to text when we want it in a digital format with screen readers, this is awesome.
Or at least it could be. I'm curious about how much of this is going to be online that you can get for free. How much of it will you get if you have an online subscription? And can you get that on the PC? I know a lot of what they're looking at is bringing this to the tablet. So you have Newsstand or Google Magazines and those sorts of things. And I don't think any of us have tried it, but oftentimes, at least in Newsstand, while the app itself is accessible, it's kind of up to the publishers to make sure that the content is. So we don't really know where this is going.
I think you're right in that. Do you consume your news via a web version of the tablet? Let's say from the web page on a tablet, which might have better accessibility through the quote unquote web page, or inside the app. Some things like the Daily, which is available on iOS, are only available as an app. And unfortunately, those services actually also suffer not just from having lack of accessibility, but lack of readership in general, because Ouch. Some people don't consume their information that way. There's an app called Flipboard, which goes and kind of aggregates a lot of websites and puts it in a magazine style format. And that recently was made accessible. But for a long time, there was an argument of, did it take away readership from those other sites? Because you know, were you actually going to those sites to register hits? The way that we consume information on the web, quote unquote, for free, is kind of linked to tracking and ad clicks and ad buys and on all this other stuff that gets really techy. And that's changing. A lot of browsers are starting to move to the do not track model, IE10, which is announced for next month as a preview, actually has do not track by default. Apple has some tracking technology in iOS 6. So all of that's coming into going to the rating system, like the Nielsen's, right? Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that's how you're going to be able to track and be able to support these things other than direct gateways. Remember when the Wall Street Journal and others went to paywalls, New York Times, because, you know, their content does cost a lot to produce. So they put up the ad walls in order for you to get through. It's just kind of something we're going to be looking at on the web of where that information is. How can you get to that information? And do you have to pay for that information? That's also a big thing that I'm looking at to see what happens.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that they're going to have some version of this on the Kindle as well. I don't know if you're going to purchase a subscription through the Amazon store or what have you. But the Kindle is one of those things where you're going to be reading something either in the Silk browser or purchasing it through the Amazon store and looking at it that way. Amazon has just recently launched a Whispercast service for the Kindle. And this is kind of cool. I think it's probably no secret how I feel about Kindle accessibility right now, given that we haven't seen anything on the Kindle Fire and the Kindle keyboard may be going away, and its accessibility, while it is usable, it's not perfect. However, with all that said, there are still schools who are using the Kindle in the classroom to allow for the reading of textbooks and that kind of thing. What Whispercast is going to allow people to do is basically configure an experience for all of its end users. So, for example, you could, with Whispercast, configure to turn on text-to-speech in the content that you have automatically.
Or turn it off, which could be worse.
That could be quite
that's
bad.
That's the glass half-empty approach right there, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is pretty interesting to, you know, we kind of assume, or at least I assume, that I'm going to have control over my own device, that I'm going to be able to make a decision of, you know, but if I'm in college, especially, or whatever, I might not so much in a given situation.
Right. It's pretty common for them to lock down devices, regardless of what your tablet is. If it's given right. out by this school system or this workplace or whatever, they don't want you to be able to do anything without saying, "Mother, may I?" So, you know, this allows for that kind of power.
Well, remember, this also comes from the company that says, "Oh, you don't want ads on your Kindle? $15, please, and we'll remove the ads." Mm. So, you know, so it's a different paradigm now. Honestly, it's a different way of how do you consume your content? Where do you consume your content? And can that content be something that can be consumed for free? If not, how do you get the information or money from it? If you say you don't want to be tracked, or you don't want to opt in to be tracked, or you put up, you know, blocking technology, whatever that may be, maybe it's blocking ads in Firefox or something like that. At some point, somewhere, some way, it's not free. It's got to be produced somewhere. Servers cost money, electricity, the ability to push it to you, all of that costs. So everybody's trying to find a new way of being able to do that and how to provide that. The question is just how much can people withstand before they just go, okay, enough. That's it. I've got it. But that kind of stuff happens, and it's just growing pains of the web.
Well, the theme of the last several articles has been reading. And this next article presents all of the iPad mini rumors, I think, that have ever existed. And it puts them all in one place. And when you look at this list, it's kind of dizzying, actually. Actually, it's pretty comical in a way.
It's hilarious. You got to look at this for a laugh.
Yeah.
They have, again, been collecting this since 2009 when we first had the iPad mini rumor, and now it looks like it's going to happen because, you know, there aren't nearly enough tablets in the marketplace. So let's have another, shall we?
Yes.
Well, let's have 24 of them. One of the rumors is that there's going to be 24 versions of the iPad mini. Now, let me do the math real quick. That would be an iPad mini that would be in, say, 16 gig, 32 gig, 64 gig, right? Okay, that makes sense. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, let's do a little bit more. Let's make that to the power of 2, because then you would have the black one.
You have Wi-Fi or 3G.
Or the white one, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And then what Ricky just said, multiply that by 3, because now you're going to have Wi-Fi, 3G, or 4G LTE connections. Right. So you have many iPods, as an iPod for your tablet, available for you to choose from. And, you know, I don't know. It's always funny. I think of the South Park episode where Cartman wants to go get a tablet, and he goes into Best Buy, and he looks at the wall, and he goes for the most expensive one, which is the, you know, 3G-enabled 64 gig at the time. Because that's what people will do, right? People will shoot for the bottom, you know, early adopter price, or they'll go for, I'll get everything up at the top. So, but it's going to be really crazy. But we'll know more about this new iPad, whatever, baby iPad, smaller iPad, you know, mini me, later, as the announcement is very, very soon. And it's also a rumor that there's going to be 13-inch MacBooks, which is going to be pretty interesting if that's true, too.
I would like to personally thank Apple for doing this on the day that TripleClick Home records. That's going to give us some very timely content, and you'll be able to get instant reaction, or almost instant, to all of the latest news. So thank you very much, Apple. That was very thoughtful of you.
That was deliberate. They did it just for us.
Yes, they did. 5 ways to increase your iPhone 5 battery life. And I personally don't like any of these. Well, maybe the first one. I guess I just leave my stuff alone, because if I want it, I want it. I don't want to have to go, oh, the reason I don't have, you know, this app doesn't know where I am is because I turned off location services. I just want it.
Why doesn't this Bluetooth device connect?
Yeah.
Apple, how could you do this? This is supposed to just work. Except I turned it off. And it does. It bothers me that the answer to saving battery life is, you know, basically disable every bit of functionality on the device and it'll last forever.
Yeah.
There are some somewhat valuable points here, like turn off LTE, especially if you don't have LTE in your area.
That makes sense.
Because it's roaming.
For me, I do have LTE in my area, so I want it to happen whenever I am within range of it. turn off push for a lot of things, like don't have mail fetching stuff and pushing it to you. And for me, yeah, no, I kind of want to know when emails are coming in rather than having to check the thing myself every 15 or 20 minutes. I like the comfort
CNN
that it's
breaking
alert
news.
Me.
The sun came up this morning.
Oh,
you might
yes.
want to go into each app and actually kind of turn it off on an app by app basis.
Now because that is some apps.
Yes,
idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah that, so go over to, if you're using an iDevice, go over to settings and then, you know, do your 3-finger swipe down to the bottom and start looking at your apps and then looking at each individual app to see if it has push, because you might not care that there's a new app sale on something or other because it's a special one-day only sale. But mm-hmm. let me also say, you want to leave the push enabled in iBlink Radio. That's very important. You want to leave
yes.
that there because
yes, you do.
We tell you about
you
really cool
stuff.
Things. Yeah, leave that
and we
there.
We don't spam you. We don't
no,
overload
we do
you with content.
No.
So
that's okay. That's fine for your battery. That's okay.
Right.
But Wi-Fi, you probably don't want to turn that off.
No, I would say not.
No, especially if you have a data cap.
It's funny because when I first got my iPhone 4S, I chose to go with a clean new iCloud and iTunes account. My wife and I had been sharing data, and we decided to kind of, well, sounds funny, to separate only digitally, I shall add.
So, your iCloud had a divorce.
Gets custody of the cloud? Is that what you're
yeah.
saying?
It's pretty much. Yeah.
It's my iTunes match.
But, I mean, before I actually put anything on my phone, it really did. The battery life was awesome. So I could actually attest to the fact that this really does work. Not that it's bad now, but, you know, it's like, wow, this battery life is incredible. Oh, I don't have any apps on here. That might be part of the reason.
Yes.
That's like Windows, right? They always ask John C. Dvorak in Twit, you know, oh, this version of Windows is the fastest Windows ever. And he goes, yeah, for 6 months. And then you load apps on it and it goes horrible and you got to format it. And he's not wrong about that. I'll tell you what else
he's not wrong about.
He's not wrong about his opinion of Surface and how mm-hmm. Microsoft Surface confuses the issue. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff released that we're going to talk about on this podcast really soon between Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, Windows RT / Surface, Office 2013 preview for Surface and RT.
Which is now going to be called Office 365.
Right.
Oh,
well, there's that, because there's Office 365 for corporate, Office 365 for university. Anyway, you get the point. The idea is that there's a lot of stuff coming, but some people don't like the limitations of what Windows RT is. And what that is it's their version, for an argument's sake, of an iPad. And the inside that aren't a whole lot of apps yet. There's about 5,500. So the question, of course, comes down to, it's not about numbers. It's down to the apps you want. You know, Netflix, Skype, you know, the things you're going to use most often, are they there? Yes, those things are there or coming. But some people really feel like Windows Phone 8 is no big deal because the Windows Phone brand isn't that big a deal. Just go ask Nokia, who actually sold more Symbian phones than Windows phones last quarter. Or, so people are saying, well, look, why have all these different versions of Windows? Why not just do a Windows Surface phone? Because really, the benefit of Windows 8 ecosystem is that I can teach it to you once, and it's the same user interface for the most part across all these different devices. With Windows, actual
familiar.
Windows. Yeah, I know. But the idea is that you can learn one way and interact with it in all these other ways. And I get that. I totally get that. But I also understand that Microsoft is trying to do what Google is doing and what Apple has already done, which is preserve the experience for the user. So if you have, let's take, for instance, Android, right? Because the carriers are involved, your experience in Android can be vastly affected by your choice of AT&T or Verizon or Sprint or T-Mobile or EE or Orange or whoever. It doesn't matter. Because there are certain things that have to be done to the phone in order to make that work on the carrier. Same for tablets. But if you make your own reference, if you make your own thing, it's pristine. Like Jamie just said, it was his brand new iPhone. And there was nothing on it, and there was no bloatware, and there was nothing like that. Well, Microsoft wants to be able to do that too. Microsoft wants to be able to make a tablet that everybody can learn from and then go off and do whatever they want with it. I don't think that works in the phone market. I think no matter what you do, even Apple's starting to have a bit of trouble keeping their ecosystem clean because the carriers want to be able to also market to you as well. So I agree with this article. I think it'd be great, but I also understand why Microsoft is kind of sort of protecting itself and giving itself options rather than just saying, yeah, there's only two things here. They want to be able to still vote somebody off the island. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I think it's...
No, please. I am not sure.
We're both kind of like, The weird thing for me is I feel strange about Microsoft devoting development time to two different platforms, both Windows Phone 8 and RT. I think it would have made a lot more sense to just say, okay, we're going to place our bets on RT all the way and not maintain this other OS, which is separate. I think they share some code, but certainly not to the degree that it's going to be easy to maintain Windows Phone 8 separately from Windows 8 and Windows RT.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, the difficulty there. I think if I had to make a choice, I would tend to, for whatever reason, I think I would go towards Surface if I was going to get a phone, because probably of just all the reasons that Joe just mentioned.
Yeah.
Just because I would want that device that I knew was either going to look and feel like the tablet or that might synchronize more efficiently if I decided to get a Surface tablet or whatever. So that would just be my kind of my personal, it tends to make my head hurt, honestly. kind of like all these Microsoft 365 package options.
Agreed.
Man. So Office 2013, now I'm not even sure what to call it, because apparently this is just a bit of a rebranding. Everything is going to be Office 365, which does make sense, I have to say, because you're going to be able to get Office from the web, or you can have something on your machine or whatever, but it's still really a lot more cloud-based now, as Office 365 has been for a while. So it makes sense for them to kind of say, we're not separating the PC suite from the cloud option so much anymore. But now they've come up with all these different flavors of Office 365. You got the small business, medium business, large business, corporate.
This is new. Let me introduce you to Microsoft Windows Vista, from starter to ultimate.
No, this is not new, but I thought they would have learned their lesson by now.
Microsoft's a huge corporation with many, many, many divisions, and sometimes those divisions don't always work in sync with one another, or again, one is going to test things. Like, okay, perfect example, Zune, dead. Welcome Xbox Music, Xbox Video. And part of that is because the Xbox, well, I don't know, makes money and sells, so why not use its branding? There was at a time we had Windows Live Messenger instead of Windows Messenger, then Live got killed. So Microsoft is not afraid to eat a brand name. They've done it before. It does cause confusion in the store. And I think that's important, that imagine someone who doesn't follow this as much as we do, or you wonderful listener who listens to our podcast and tries to follow along at home with what we're talking about. It's really crazy to walk into a store and then try and decipher all these different ones. I mean, 24 versions of the iPad mini, possibly. Then you've got the iPod Touch for $300. What's the good or the bad there? Or should I just get an iPhone? Or should I just get a regular iPad, or whatever the new iPad they want to call it today is? And then, you know, with Windows, you're going to have all that. Then you're going to have laptops that have touch on them, right? So you're going to have, what's the difference between Windows Surface? What's the difference between Windows laptop running Windows 8 and this Windows laptop running Windows 8 Pro with Surface enabled, that I can pull the laptop lid off and then it's an actual tablet? Oh my goodness. You thought Android was fun to figure out.
And we care, because we do these podcasts every week, and I'm still doing the my head hurts routine. What does the average user, I mean, is it just completely lost?
Or
is it just what you say? You walk in and you see something on the shelf and think, oh, I like that. That's shiny. I think I'll take that.
It's going to have to be incumbent on the user to do a little research. And I'm not sure how many people are accustomed to that right now, nor am I sure how easy it's been made to do that sort of research. You know, do you have an infographic at the store, and then of course the blind person's not going to be looking at the infographic, but you kind of need as a consumer something that gives you all the differences between these options at a glance, because a lot of people there, I mean, and I'm not trying to be condescending, it's just that the attention span for figuring out the differences between each of these things can be kind of limited. What you want is to say, I just want to get what works for me, even though I'm not quite sure what that is.
You're going to rely on Gilbert, the seasonal employee, who's going to be able to help you.
Yep.
And it's going to be just...
I've been selling a lot of these because these are the ones they're giving us a commission on, so I think you're going to like that one a lot.
It's going to be just as helpful as if you went to a Facebook page. Yep, just saying.
Oh, yes. Facebook. It's time for the Facebook frenzy.
Oh, man, it's been so long since we had Facebook stories, yeah, and so somehow they found a way to crawl their way back in.
To me, this next article is one of those that the headline looks awesome, and then the more I think about it, it's like, oh, that's kind of a no-brainer. Only 6% of fans engage with a brand's Facebook page. So we're so impressed because we have 250,000 likes on our Facebook page, but nobody really communicates with us much.
They don't pay attention. Yeah. No. And I can understand why, too, because you may like something. Like, you know what? I like Snapple. I think Snapple Peach Tea is really good. And Snapple has a Facebook page that I liked. But am I going to go there every day, you know, wake up in the morning with this burning desire to go and say, hi, Snapple, it's a new day and I still like peach tea? Or, you know, go and answer their polls and stuff every day. Nobody has time for that unless you are a little bit obsessive over the page that you're liking in this group.
Or you do a tech podcast.
It makes up the core fans.
Yeah. There is that.
but Ricky, do you like peach tea? I mean, I don't know. I saw your SMS and I wasn't sure if you like them, you know.
It's complicated.
Oh, okay. That's your relationship status with peach tea. It's complicated.
Yeah.
That's always when I giggle when somebody goes, I am social media strategist. Okay, what does that mean? Twitter, you know, is a little bit more of kind of engagement because you can have kind of a running dialogue and people can kind of see. Some people make the same argument with Facebook and comments and things like that. It's certainly a great way to get your message out there. But do you have something that causes people to come back, like Ricky's saying? Is it something that really, hey, we got new lids now. Okay.
Alrighty.
Thanks for that. That's by the way, I'm turning you off on the push notification, just like CNN. Just thought I'd let you know. It is. There's an interesting article. I'll have to see if I can find it because I kind of read it off on a whim about the dark social and the fact that a lot of links are still passed through SMS, through instant message, through email, through things that aren't even tracked by Twitter or Facebook, that the old ways of us using the internet, you know, the ways with carrier pigeons and postal dispatch and word of mouth, you know, social gatherings is still how information is really transferred. And that even though you could do all of this, you know, with social, at some point, you know, people still transfer information in ways that are outside of the way of being tracked. So why would you spend, look at GM. Remember GM like said, okay, we're not going to do $10 million in Facebook ads because we just put up a Facebook fan page and that's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many ways to communicate. There are just so many avenues that, you know, I guess it's impossible to keep track of all of them, honestly.
And they all get bought up. Company. Look at Instagram. That was the get away from Facebook. Oops. Wait, got bought by Facebook. Okay. I guess I need to look for another social network. Maybe not Google Plus.
When you mentioned companies that partner with Facebook, how about Panda Security? You can download a 6-month trial of their product. And apparently, because I'm not real familiar with, I mean, I've heard of it, obviously, and from what I remember, it gets really high ratings in some of the computer magazines, or has, but it's kind of geared for online use. It really is optimized that way.
Right. And where this comes into play is Facebook is wanting to do more than just social. We just talked about how brand engagement isn't always very popular. And if, you know, you make really, really good burgers, Burger King, but then you turn around and say, okay, you know what? We got to do something to get people who don't like burgers in here. Announcing our new line of salads, which they did this year, actually, for a short period of time, they promoted, you know, Burger King salads. Facebook is trying to promote themselves as a place where you go to get software, like, you know, security software. And that way it's just like Amazon. You know, you went there originally for books, but now Amazon is everything. It's not just books. It's not just movies. It's not just music. You can buy groceries through Amazon and other affiliates. Facebook wants to do that as well. Facebook wants to be your everything. And
I think a lot of people want that, but I think that Amazon is the exception rather than the rule. Not everyone can do that well.
Right.
Amazon has thus far, but I don't think it's as easy as saying, we'll look at what Amazon does and we want a piece of that too.
A lot of companies just throw things up in the air. Android is a perfect example. People go, well,
you think, you know, or why, Google in general.
Well, this is true. Google never thought Android would take off to the way it did.
They were like, well, we did Wave, we did Buzz.
Yep. All these
all
other
that died
projects.
Quickly. We'll try Android. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. See what sticks.
Worked. Now what do we do?
Exactly. How do we get that genie back in the bottle? Facebook is the same thing. Facebook wasn't considering mobile. We've talked about that on this podcast. In that, you know, whoa, we exploded and now we're the zeitgeist and we're like AOL 2.0. What do we do now? How do we keep that going? Because we've saw what happened to MySpace. We don't want to be the next MySpace. Okay, I know what we'll do. We'll start selling games. We'll start selling, you know, Panda Security. We'll start selling this, and this, and try to extend our brand to become, you know, Burger King with salads. Yeah, because, hey, Ricky, let's go over to Burger King and get a salad. Yeah, that just doesn't sound right.
Not
too
so much. I wonder if I can order my Snapple through Facebook.
Only if you like it. You'll have to go back and reassess your relationship.
Hmm.
But don't reassess your relationship with us. Don't go for that fast forward button. Get your finger off the 2X button. Please, because we've got more to talk about in the roundabout right after this break on Serotalk Podcast 129.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 129. It's time to open up that gargantuan mailbag once again. As usual, we had a lot of great feedback. And Ricky, why don't you start us off this time?
Yes, we got a great message from Sue commenting over on the Serotalk.com blog. You can do that as well, commenting on your favorite episodes or just in general. We love to see stuff on the blog. And of course, that's also where you'll find the show notes. In any case, Sue says, great podcast as usual. And she talks about the article we discussed regarding blind people, young blind people in particular, not being connected to the internet. She's been pretty lucky. She's been on the internet since she was 21, and that really opened a door for her. She met her now husband online, and they've been married for 9 years. She suggests that there are probably some blindness organizations that do sort of get-togethers, maybe twice a month and that kind of thing, and that has helped her as far as getting out and communicating with other blind people. And if he could get a PC with NVDA or system access, he could at least keep up with what's going on in the world. So very good points as far as there being many, many options for blind people to connect with each other. They just have to know what those options are first And a lot of options are not cost prohibitive. So it's not as bleak as things may have been painted in this article.
And there's a lot of information available on iBlink Radio. It's great to have so many people actually providing information there. You know, when you first start out and you want to find, you know, what other blind people are doing, there's all sorts of podcasts, there's all sorts of resources. There's a lot of wonderful streaming radio and radio reading services, so you can actually learn a lot in one easy-to-use app, be it iBlink Radio on Android or iOS. We had a lot of comments in about the five questions and the good ambassador and comments that I had made on the last podcast. Christine writes in and says that she gets those kind of questions all the time, and especially when it's related to her guide. And does her dog cook for her was one of the questions that she got. I guess if there's a lot of hair nets, you know, if you could, my stove's kind of tall, we'd have to build a little doggy ramp. I've seen commercials where dogs have been trained to go get beer out of the refrigerator during football games. I don't know.
Rover, beer me.
It would be interesting to be able to, I mean, have you taught Eddie anything about, you know, how to flambé or possibly anything that I see on Food Network's Chopped? Can he open baskets for mystery ingredients?
I don't know. He makes a pretty good roux. You know, he just kind of moves his paw around until the flour and the butter and stuff come together.
Wow.
Then he licks it all off. So I never get any of it, but he says it's good.
Well, I mean, how can you argue with that? I mean, that's 4 stars on Yelp if I've ever heard one. Jamie?
That's right.
My cats do not cook, and I would, you know, prefer that they not. I think I'll just leave that to my wife and myself.
Fancy feast again tonight. Here you go.
Yeah.
Tender victuals casserole again. Come on, Mr. Mittens.
Tuna helper. I ate the tuna, but here's the helper.
Here's the rest of it. Yeah. Hope you like noodles.
Let's move to another email, shall we, please? Thank you. Pam Francis talks to us about sounds that bother her. One of them, interestingly enough, I don't mind, my wife hates, and that's the test pattern. In this case, it's the weather alert in our area. It's this really loud, annoying, I don't even know how to describe it, sound that is, yeah, she makes me turn it down. So Pam used to run screaming from the room when the test patterns would come on, and has been told that as a child she had this really severe reaction. So I think we can all identify with that. With some of these sounds.
Oh, yes. And by the way, Christine Diller mentioned the sounds of crunching on an apple and rubbing the pages of a book together. And those are very interesting as well. For me, crunching on an apple isn't so bad. It's somebody eating really chewy candy. That's mine. And if they've got their mouth open and you kind of just hear the chewy candy flopping around in there going
smells from gum would drive me crazy. They're just some forms of bubblicious that you could smell like half a hallway away, and it's just man,
watermelon, please. Green apple.
Oh, I love those. My gosh,
some of them are pretty good actually.
Oh, I'm sure they taste wonderful, but sometimes the smell can just be really obnoxious.
The entire room enjoys it with you.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Sharing my gum.
I appreciate that.
Wow.
Here, let me light up the cigar now and see if I can outdo you. And if it's war you want.
Yeah. Pam also, Pam, we actually haven't forgotten you. We just got sidetracked is all. She asks about the learning curve between the Android devices rather versus the iPad, because she lives in Kansas City and Google Fiber is there or coming soon.
Fiberhoods.
Kind of wanting to try
that
out.
I love this. Yeah. It's like awesome speeds down and awesome speeds up. And a part of that, you actually get, you have the ability to get Google cable service. So instead of like Comcast or Time Warner, you actually get Google TV from Google itself. And to interact with that set-top box, you kind of get a Nexus 7, which is even cooler. So not enough for me to leave Houston because I love the fourth largest city in the United States. But And I also have a better football team, as she's pointed out to me on Twitter, by the way. Thank you, Pam. But the idea that Matt may pick up and go over there. Matt Campbell's over in Kansas. Maybe that would intrigue him to go into Kansas and get a better Google experience. Now, we talked a little earlier about the Nexus 7 and the accessibility that's on board in Jelly Bean. Not knowing how these apps look, we can't specifically talk about whether that's going to work out well, because we don't know if this is going to be an in-app interface or a web interface or something like that.
Right.
But for the most part, Ricky and I are going to talk about this in another podcast probably, but for the most part, it's incredibly usable as it stands today as we record this in October 2012.
The gestures that do exist are easy to learn, and in fact, there's some parity between the two. Not parody, but parity. They have some similarities as far as being able to flick around to different objects on the screen, and touch typing is quite similar between Android and iOS in Jelly Bean. So the gestures that you have to learn, that's not going to be a huge learning curve. Learning the operating system itself and learning the things that aren't yet available on Jelly Bean that you may be accustomed to in iOS, like navigating headings and links through a rotor, those things you're not going to see yet. But again, with that said, with this app that you're getting, it may be quite functional for you.
Exactly. And all of that's, you know, changes. So at the time that we record this and you listen to this podcast a month later, it's entirely possible that that may have already changed, or that there may be some things that have been added. As we said, TalkBack is in beta currently on version 6. So these things are always kind of a bit, you know, to the day that we record. And it's why we don't do deep dives of iOS apps or Android apps or anything like that. Because the minute that we do something like that, they become almost outdated the second that they're uploading to the internet. So it really does require, David Woodbridge wrote recently on Twitter that advocacy is like a line in the sand. As soon as it's there, the waves can come in and you have to start over. And he's not too far off that remark.
All right. I'd like to thank all of you who sent in comments. We urge you to continue to do that. As always, resources at sarotalk.com. You can leave an iReport on your iPhone or Android device via iBlink Radio. Also, if you go to sarotalk.com, you can leave a blog comment, or you can call the Blab Line, 866-997-2522. It's time now for Roundabout.
Roundabout.
This article is one that I hope I never have to identify with. Although, to be perfectly honest with you, because of his security training and his police training, I wonder if Pete Bosley has actually experienced this. Police used taser on blind man, thinking his cane was a samurai sword. this happened in the United Kingdom.
How does this happen?
The crazy thing about this is that there really was a drunk and disorderly guy walking around with a sword, apparently.
Yeah, so they had gotten reports of this guy. And I guess when they saw somebody with something long and white in his hand, they were like, oh, yeah, that's it. They reported this samurai thing, and there the guy is. So they used a taser on him, and he was simply carrying his cane. He obviously was very shaken by this, and the police as well were very apologetic. But I'm trying to imagine what it was like being in this gentleman's shoes, because he's walking down the street. Now, did the police say anything like,
they
drop your weapon, any of that? And if they
hollered,
did
stop several times, but apparently he didn't realize they were speaking to him.
Well, yeah. How would he know that they're talking to him? He's just strolling along doing nothing but minding his own business. Yeah. Why would this very forceful command to stop, freeze, what does that have to do with me?
Yeah. I might want to get out of the situation, like maybe walk a little faster.
I think I'd start walking faster.
My first thought was his name Connor or Duncan MacLeod? And was he looking for the prize for Ricky? There can be only one. I just want you to know that right now. So you, and what I'm referring to is the movie Highlander. And that's what I thought of, actually, was, oh, it's over in the UK. It's but this is where my mind goes, the EOL portion of my brain, that they were, you know, thinking that these guys were competing to be immortal. I understand where you know, the error of the side of caution. Thank goodness it was a taser, because other things have happened with mistaken identity before, unfortunately, with guns. So it's okay that he, I mean, it's not okay that they did this, but it's good that it was a taser and that he came out okay. I agree with you, which is, you know, somebody pointing or not, you know, thinking of, hey, and I've had that at airports where someone's trying to warn me that I'm going to, you know, walk into something and they don't know what to say. So it's, guy with the stick. I've heard occasionally that it's like,
oh yes.
So yeah, I you know, it's an unfortunate accent. It's somewhat minorly humorous, especially since it got me to think about Christopher Lambert and the Queen soundtrack, which is great. But I think all's well that ends well here. But have you ever had a case of mistaken identity, or have you had someone not understand? I know, you know, guides, this happens all the time with service animals, where people can't walk in to say Taco Bell or something like that without, you know, no dog. And
yeah.
So I think it's interesting of awareness. Again, you know, we talked about this, about the buffet of life, where if nobody's had that experience or understands, and in a heated moment, maybe those decisions really need to come up a little better. But if these guys have never been had training on it, or never thought of the scenario that man with long object that may be pointed or not, maybe it wouldn't have happened if he had a roller tip.
Yeah.
I just still can't imagine if he's just moving it back and forth with a rhythmic motion.
He's practicing. He's practicing fencing. You know, we just had the Olympics. It's.
Yeah, you would think there would not be anything too menacing about this gentleman. I mean,
yeah.
If he was waving the stick up in the air, if he was waving his cane upwards, I could see that.
But talking
if
it's to himself, or right, I don't know.
I was looking for a tree branch. That's why I was waving it.
Taking a two-point stance, yelling on guard, spin, parry, thrust. Maybe that would be a little different. I you know. Hmm. Oh, well, these things are interesting, and that's why they go in roundabout. But, you know, we are not done yet. Jamie, what's coming up after the news here?
I had the chance to visit with Laura Legendary of Elegant Insights Jewelry. And before all of you guys who are listening get ready to tune out, don't do that, because she actually has some things in her product line, in her business, that even the gentleman might be interested in. So I really enjoyed my visit with Laura and appreciate her taking the time. I know she's been on a Sarah Spectives at some point. It's been a while back, right, Ricky?
Yeah, it's been almost January? A year, but you can check back through the archives and certainly find Laura.
And don't forget, and holidays
are coming
up. And I look
forward to hearing this interview as well.
You want to listen to that anyway, because you might want to buy something for somebody special.
Also, High Contrast Episode 5 is out, Jeremy's Song. It's an excellent podcast. The guys, the team, I have to include Maury in there. The team visits with Becca Bradley, who's a singer and who has written a song for Mr. Jeremy Curry. And I really enjoy this podcast. I enjoy all of them. This one was a little bit different. This is a little off the beaten path, but I like it a lot. So be sure and check it out. I think you will also. Well, that's going to wrap it up this time for the news portion of this podcast. So until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Today, I have the pleasure of visiting with Laura Legendary of Elegant Insights Jewelry. And Laura, welcome to the Sarah Talk podcast.
Hi, Jamie. Nice to be with you.
So the name Elegant Insights is just kind of captures my interest. Why don't you go ahead and just kind of tell us a little bit about what your business is and what type of jewelry you sell?
Well, Elegant Insights is a collection of jewelry and accessories designed especially for people who are blind or visually impaired. And what makes it unique is that all of the products are embossed in Braille.
Excellent. So we're talking bracelets then, I assume, necklaces?
We offer traditional jewelry items like bracelets, necklaces, and earrings, but we also offer some fun accessories. For example, our top sellers aren't jewelry items at all. Our top sellers are in our accessories category. For example, purse charms. We call mm-hmm. them our touch of personality handbag charms. These are very popular. And the cane charms, we sell mobility cane charms, and they are in our vein cane collection. And our mobility cane charms are just a way for you to decorate your mobility cane. And we also have some charms that you can put on your dog's collar if you have a service dog or the dog's harness. And we have those in cute little dog bone shapes. But all of our charms are available in a variety of shapes in addition to a couple of different metal colors. So you can mix and match, and we encourage our customers to design their own. We do have a number of stock items, but we invite design ideas from our customers who have come up with some pretty unique and interesting pieces of custom jewelry just for themselves.
Now, if I understand, and my wife sold jewelry for a short time and she loves it, for you ladies especially, jewelry isn't just something to put on, right? It's kind of something that actually is part of who you are, kind of makes you feel better about yourself. Have I got that about right?
In addition to that, which is correct, I think it's a myth that women who are blind or visually impaired have no sense of style or sensibility about what is fashionable. We mm-hmm. are just as vain as our sighted counterparts, and we love to wear beautiful things, and we like to know what's in style. And in this case, I think what makes our jewelry collection so distinctive is that it's a way not only for you to wear a beautiful, elegant piece of jewelry, but it's also a way for you to make a statement, you know, your personal sense of style, a statement about who you are or what matters to you. Since we do have a technique that enables us to custom design the braille embossing, it can be something as simple as a monogram if a customer wants their initials on a piece of jewelry, or it can be a specific message, a sentiment, a statement of love and romance, whatever it might be, or it can be an inspirational word or phrase. We have a lot of customers who like motivational expressions, and because of our technique, we can pretty much emboss whatever the customer wants on a piece of jewelry. Now, we're limited only as to the size of the charm itself. We use standard readable braille. So if it embosses in a particular way on a piece of paper using a slate and stylus, it's going to look just like that on a metal charm. So, you know, the Gettysburg address on a charm probably isn't possible, but customer name, initials, or sentimental romantic statement will certainly fit on most of our charms. And we do use grade 2 braille as well. So if you have a name or a phrase that needs to be contracted, we'll do that to save space. But it's a great way for our customers not only to look stylish and feel beautiful, but to wear something that's meaningful just for them.
This is a very unique business, it sounds. How did you get started in doing this?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Jamie, it's really not all that unique. There are other people out there who make specialized jewelry. I have seen other braille jewelry out there. I'm not the only one who's doing it, although, of course, I'm partial to my own designs. So
certainly.
I have to say that I think, in my opinion, mine are the most beautiful, but I'm a little biased there. Actually, the Elegant Insights Braille Creations product line was inspired by a gift I received when I was struggling through a difficult time in my life. I had just lost my husband, Billy, and I was given a little gift. It was just a little token to help keep me moving forward. And would you know what I meant if I said a worry stone? Do you know what I would mean by that? Have you ever seen a worry stone? It's just a little thing people might carry around with them that helps them to alleviate stress. It's usually a river stone or a smooth little token or talisman that somebody can rub or hold if they're feeling stressed or anxious. And someone gave me a little worry stone that on one side was engraved with a word that, of course, I couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was holding the little stone in my hand, somebody told me if I turned the stone over, I would be able to read what it said. So I flipped over the little stone, which was really only about an inch and a half or so long, and embossed in braille on the other side of the stone was the word survivor. And I was so moved. I couldn't even speak. I was so overwhelmed mm-hmm. how thoughtful it was that this person would give me this little thing that had braille on it. I didn't know if it was done just for me. I have no idea where this little stone came from. I have no idea how Braille was applied to this little. To this day, I still don't know. But wow. I was so touched by how thoughtful it was. I was turning the stone over and over in my hands, and I was thinking, I wonder if there's a way I can make a pendant out of this and maybe wear it around my neck. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, the entire concept of the Elegant Insights jewelry line came to me in a single flash of inspiration.
Wow.
It was like a bolt of lightning. I couldn't get to my computer fast enough. All the names of the products, the product descriptions, the types of items I would sell, it all came to me all at once. And when I got home, I just started writing. And before long, I had a full product line in development. And it took me quite a while, actually. It took me almost 2 years after that to get the jewelry line off the ground. But we've been selling for a little over a year now.
That's great. Have you heard other testimonials from blind people, you know, telling you stories about the products that you sell?
Our customers have really been an incredible inspiration to me. I've had some customers call with their own personal stories and want to design jewelry or accessories just for themselves that are so special and meaningful to them. Our customers are so creative and interesting and wonderful, and we've created some incredible products just for them. And I know that they're treasured because, number one, they took part in the design process, and number two, they requested something specifically that held meaning for them, a sentiment, the name of a loved one. It's really been incredible. Our customers are amazing.
That is excellent. That's great to hear. How have you gone about getting the word out? I mean, how have people found out about your company?
Well, like every other small business in startup mode, I have no budget.
Right.
And as a result, you know, I'm completely undercapitalized. So everything I do, I first make an effort to find a way to do it at no cost or low cost. I have done a little bit of traditional advertising, but for the most part, I'm doing one-on-one marketing and promotion through email and word of mouth. I also have been making a number of appearances at blindness-related conferences or assistive technology trade shows. I have a couple coming up. I'll be appearing at the NFB of California State Conference in their exhibit hall. We'll have a table and we'll be showing our products. The ACB of California also has an event coming up at the end of October, and I'll be exhibiting there. And next, I'll be at the Abilities Expo in San Jose, and we'll be exhibiting there. So I go around the country, and I set up shop, a little booth at trade shows and conferences, and try to get as many people to touch the products as possible. I think feeling is believing in this case. And while it sounds interesting, you really don't get a sense of it until you touch the products and realize that it really is crisp, readable Braille. And once you see how Braille can be incorporated into some of these designs, all of a sudden, you just can't get enough.
Now, you were telling me when we spoke before the interview that you actually have some products for guys. What do you sell for the gentlemen?
You know, I wanted to incorporate as many different types of customers as possible into the product line because I wanted it to be accessible in the truest sense of the word. So my products range. I've got products for ladies and gentlemen. I'm working on a line for little ones, adolescents perhaps, preteens or tweens. I've got a line of products that the doggies might like to wear. Obviously, I talked about the Vane Cane collection for our favorite traveling companion, our white cane. And I also wanted to create a range of prices so that the products are approachable for customers who want to buy something for as little as $10 or anything up from there. So I really have tried to make the collection as well-rounded as possible. And for gentlemen, our most popular items so far have been the military-style dog tags.
Okay.
They are the standard military-issue style. They have a rolled edge. They're available in brass, copper, and stainless steel. And we can drop them on a ball chain, which is how most men like to wear them. But we've also had a number of gentlemen request that we make something else out of them. For example, one gentleman wanted a set of keychains made. Another wanted me to create some dog tags that were made into a branded item that was to be used as a giveaway when he exhibited his items at a trade show. So if you went to his booth, for example, and watched a demonstration of his product, you would be given one of these little, you know, promotional giveaway items, which was one of our Braille embossed key tags.
Sure.
So gentlemen like our dog tags, and then we also do make some jewelry for the guys. We have some bracelets and necklaces for gentlemen.
Well, that's very good. How can people get a little more acquainted with your products? Where can they go online?
Well, right now my website is still under construction. They can go to the website at elegantinsightsjewelry.com, where they will be greeted with a splash page that just has a little bit of information on it, mm-hmm. and links to my Twitter and Facebook address, as well as my own email address. So if someone wants to contact me directly, they can, and we can talk about design ideas, or they can call me. My number is 509-264-2588, and we can speak directly about what they might be interested in.
So dream with me a little bit. If you could project yourself into the future, what kind of is the vision for your business? What would you really like to accomplish?
I would really like to take the product line globally. I would like mm-hmm. to find some retail outlets in which to place some of my products, whether that's an independent living aids type of outlet, whether it's a guide dogs type of outlet, you know, gift shops and some of the websites and retail type establishments, maybe for people who have vision loss or other types of disability. So distribution is definitely the dream of all entrepreneurs. You want to get your products in front of as many eyeballs as possible, in front of mm-hmm. as many potential customers as possible. And I think there's no reason why we couldn't also create our products in different languages. Why not Braille in Spanish or French or whatever it might be?
Right.
Additionally, I'd like to expand the product line to offer Braille embossed products for businesses, whether those are promotional items or whether they're plaques or identifiers, say with the make, model, and serial number of a tech product, for example. So
wow.
A customer doesn't need sighted assistance to get the identification information on a product. So I have a number of different ways in which the product line itself can actually be developed, and I have a number of different outlets I'd like to try to get the product line into.
So I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but is the actual embossing something that you do, or do you have a company that you work with that actually puts the Braille on these products?
All of the Braille is done by hand by us.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to visit with us today, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to, you know, hey, guys, you may have a significant other, a family member that you want to give a gift to, so don't, you know, in addition to possibly something you want, so don't let yourself off the hook here. I would like to encourage everyone to go to elegantinsightsjewelry.com and get in touch with Laura. So, Laura, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Ceratalk. Visit us at www.ceratalk.com. Send us an email at resources@ceratalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.